state, and or the rather the district of Texas. And so we're very happy to have them with us here tonight. And so we just want to make them welcome. Amen. Brother Whitmire, come, and this service, this pulpit is yours. Just take your liberty, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you like. We want to thank you for being here this evening. I appreciate the presence and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The song that these good folks just sang, bless my heart. Amen. I was awesomized and energized and exercised and excited to hear people enjoying singing about the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a mighty God. And He is great and greatly to be praised. That's not an original concept. Hallelujah. But folks, if we could ever get a hold of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Going to church is not a burden. It's one of those good things. Hallelujah. It's one of those good things. Worshiping, it's not something, it's not equivalent to having a tooth pulled. Giving isn't equivalent to having a tooth pulled. It's a good thing. It's tapping into the principle of the Word of God. Because when you understand God, you understand when I give to God, whether it's worship or George Washington, God's going to give back to me with this equivalency, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's why David, a man after God's own heart, had it down when he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. He wasn't no bimbo. He knew that he could not outbless God. But he's planting a harvest. Amen. That was soon to come. Hallelujah. What are your expectations for this service tonight? Well, chances are you're going to get what you expect. Hallelujah. I didn't think it was going to be any count. And guess what? That's exactly what you'll get. Oh, but if you would turn on your expectations tonight. Hallelujah. God is here to meet your need. Amen. He is a great and a mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach here in just a few minutes, but I want to thank your good pastor for allowing us to come. My wife and I, and I want to thank her for coming. She helps me. She tells me when I made a wrong turn. And she tells me when I went too fast. And she tells me when I should have went faster. And I appreciate her. She does a very good job. She also helps me drive and keeps me awake and all that good stuff. And I appreciate her tremendously. Amen. She also tells me when I do less than my very best. So I'm excited about having her here so that I'll be on the straight and narrow. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate and I love her tremendously. And I thank you for the privilege of allowing us to come here tonight. I want to share with you for a few minutes before I preach and minister and God leads us into the miraculous. I know I surprised you, didn't I? Because that's exactly where God wants to take us. Hallelujah. This is not an ordinary church. This is not an ordinary word. And this is not an ordinary time. Hallelujah. And we don't serve an ordinary God. Hallelujah. We need a word from the Lord tonight. Amen. That's going to challenge us. And that's going to change us when we leave this place. Praise the Lord. But I want to share with you a little bit about my burden for home missions. The good brethren of the Texas District elected me to serve in this position. And I do have a burden for the work of home missions. I just met with the district board this past Wednesday, and I gave them some of the news that I'm going to share with you tonight. And when it was done, one of the brethren told me, he said, you can catch, I've learned that you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And I know that. But I also know that there comes a time in situations when we need to know where we stand. Amen. Because when we know where we are, then we can make steps to go from there in the right direction. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to decide how much further I want to say. Let me just go ahead and share with you a few statistics, all right? The last article that within the Texas Sentinel, I don't know if you saw it, I wrote that and I included some of these numbers in there. And this is just to let us know where we are. Is this, I didn't even think to look. Is this section 5 or did I cross the line? It is 5, okay? And a few months ago, my wife and I were driving back from College Station to the house. And we had been to the hospital. I heard on Fox News, they were talking, and they said, there's some good news. And I went, oh, turn that knob up. There's enough bad news. And the guy said that there had come out a report that in America, thank God for America, but he said in America, there is some good news. In the last 10 years, in spite of the rise in gas prices, in spite of global economy, in spite of drive-by killings, in spite of 7 years of war, in spite of all the turmoil and the perplexity, there is a good report. And I'm saying, well, tell us. And he said, "In across the board in America, charitable giving has gone up by 80%. That's almost doubled in the last 10 years. Now, when he was saying that, he was talking about in churches. He was talking about Easter Seal. He was talking about American Cancer Society. He was talking about every kind. He was talking about gay awareness. Whatever people were passionate about, charitable giving has gone up by 80%. And I thought to myself, write that down so you don't forget it. So I went home and I began to do some looking. And I found, and the only thing I had to look back 10 years ago was in home missions, and it had to do with Christmas for Christ. How many of you know what Christmas for Christ is? Okay, it's a national program of giving that goes to home mission. And I did have some records on it. So I looked back 10 years ago, and I looked what Texas District did. 10 years ago, there were 13 sections. Now there are 9. So what I did was an apples-to-apple comparison, and the sections that are here now, the numbers that they are now, I gave them the number then, which was Section 13, is now Section 1, so we're all on the up and up. And so what I did was look, and in 1997, 10 years ago, 96% of all of the churches in the Texas District gave. They participated. They gave to Christmas for Christ. That's 96 out of every 100, okay? And that's a good deal. And so I wanted to look and see what we did compared then to now, because if the giving went up by 80% across America, how much more is our giving? Okay, so that's where I was coming from. So when I began to look, I saw that 96% of the churches gave. When I looked in 2007, which was last year, I found that instead of 96% of the churches given, 43% of the churches gave. That's down. I looked, and Section 1 was 91%. Section 2 was 97%. Section 3 was 100%. Section 4 was 100%. Section 5, that's you guys, were 100% in your giving. Amen. I'm from, there was Section 7 was 94%, Section 8 was 82%, Section 9 that I'm from was 100%. So it averaged out to 96% of the churches. But last year, 43% of the churches gave. Let me just give you the good news first. Section 9, which I'm a part of, was 75%. That was as good as it got. That was as good as it got. Section 5 was 40%. 60% of the churches in this section didn't give a dime to home missions. We are right now in the middle of, I hope you've heard of it, Global Impact. We've begun that. It is the desire, the burden, the vision to double our churches. Nationally, internationally, in Texas, in Athens, and you sitting on the pew to double yourself, each of us, pastors, evangelists, every one of us, to double ourselves for the kingdom of God. If we're going to double our churches, folks, there is no other venue that is going to happen except home missions. Unless somebody goes out and converts the Lutheran Church, or the Presbyterians, or the Catholic Church. Chances are that's not going to happen. But what we've got to do is reach out. We are the pointy end of the spear. But we cannot just sit back and say everything's wonderful and going good. We've got to see what we're doing. Amen. Section 5, 10 years ago, gave almost $6,000 to Christmas for Christ total for the whole section. And this past year, Section 5 gave $5,000 total. And that's not very much. There are many churches that gave more than that total. As a matter of fact, this past year, we had $73,000 total for Christmas for Christ. One church in Louisiana gave more than that. One church in Louisiana gave more than the entire Texas district. Everybody say, oh my. That's the appropriate response. Folks, we can do better than that. Because when we know what the need is, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. If we had given an 80% increase, that would have made Texas the second highest offering in the United States. If we had had an 80% increase. And we still would have been $80,000 behind the state of Louisiana in giving. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we can do better. Hallelujah. I tell our folks all the time, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Hallelujah. What we need to do is aim at something higher than that. There are two methods of giving to home missions in Texas District. One of them is Christmas for Christ. 60% of that offering goes to a national level, and it's great and good, and then it's dispersed out and back to Texas and wherever. But we also have a Helping Hands offering that is there and available. You can't hardly see this. I'll let the pastor look at it. And it helps us to send our home missionaries to camp meetings and to district conferences and their kids to youth camps. And it can help us pay down on property and leases and get them supplies and do different things if we had the money to be there. But Helping Hands offerings has gone down the same way, except even more drastically. When people give to Helping Hands, 90% of that offering stays right here in the state. And we can do those things. If I assume this church gives to foreign missions, PIMs. I was at a home missions church this morning that you cannot get any smaller. It was the pastor's family. All right? And the first thing I noticed when we walked into their living room was they had two partner in mission plaques that was there on their living room table. When a church, a home missionary church, gets that first PIM plaque, it's a sense of value and accomplishment. We are something. We're giving back. We're doing. But if you ask them, well, do you give to home missions? They say, what are you talking about? I am home mission. Every dollar I give goes to home mission. But that's not outside of ourselves. And so what we've got to do is change that concept. And I came up with this plaque. And there is a genuine 100% imitation deputy sheriff's badge there in the left corner of it that I put on there. Amen. During camp meeting, I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning, could not go to sleep. And the Lord laid this on my heart. And I come up with this. It's the flag of Texas, the star that's there, and there is a church in the center of that star. And that has become the emblem of what we're doing. It's home missions, and take a look at that. And This is the deal. Most of our churches have many partners in missions. Many. My church does. Most of our churches do not support Helping Hands at all. It's just facts. If each one of our churches only did the equivalent of one partner in mission at a $25 level, one commitment a month, it would raise our Helping Hands offering in the Texas district 10,000%. 10 times. If we did that alone, we could take the money from that and completely fund a home missions church in a day out of that. We could take and do the things that we're talking about doing. There are 40 different ministries that are under the umbrella of home missions. Prison ministry, Acts ministry, black evangelism, Spanish ministry, just on and on and on and on, that are underneath that. I have found that we can do more when we have more. Let me share with you just a couple of more numbers and I'm going to preach. There are, and I understand the burden of reaching foreign missions. Please don't misunderstand me. But I feel, and this is with my 316, and please don't take offense, but I feel like the tail is wagging the dog. When we began this concept of PIMs for foreign missions, we needed it. There was, and we still need it. There was, though, at that time, there were people going across the United States on fire with this message. They were building brush arbors. They were putting up tents, and they were preaching. They were having college prayer meetings. They were going all over the place, and they said, we cannot keep this message here in America. We've got to take it overseas. And so they devised a plan, and it works. And ladies' ministries works for and gives to foreign missions. And the youth ministry is the patron in every church to give to foreign missions for She's for Christ. But there is no patron. There is no big push, except it just goes on to the pastor typically, and then there's a last minute typically deal. Oh my goodness, we need to give something for Christmas for Christ. And either we do or we don't, or we forget. And so it has become very, very, very effective. But folks, can I tell you, it's time that we reach America. And it's time that we reach Texas. Why? I want to reach foreign missions. I do, and I give, and I'm not giving less. And I challenge our people to give. But let me tell you this. There are more Jews that live in America than live in the country of Israel. New York is the largest Jewish population city in the world. More people of African descent live in America than live in any country in the world except Nigeria. More Samoans live in America than live in Samoa. Within 2 to 3 years, there are going to be more Hispanics in America than the entire population of the country of Canada. All of the Canadians. There will be more Spanish that live here in the United States. There are more Armenians that live in Los Angeles than live in any city in the world. Los Angeles is the second largest Korean city in the world. Los Angeles is the second largest Salvadorian city in the world. It's the second largest Philippine city in the world. Amen. Miami, Florida is the second largest Cuban city in the world. Chicago is the second largest Polish city in the world. Detroit is the second largest Arabic city in the world. There are 10 million Asians that live in America. There are 2.5 million Muslims that live in America. There are 1,200 mosques. The Muslim religion is soon to become the second largest religion in America. The Asian population in the 90s grew by 107%. The Hispanic population grew by 53%. The Native American population grew by 38%. The entire population only grew by 6%. Folks, if we want to be mission-minded, if we want to reach the world, if we want to evangelize the world, if we want to give our dollars to the world, we need to give our dollars and move with our evangelistic thrust right here. If we'll reach Texas, we'll reach the world. So I'm asking you in this church to become a part, along with every other church that we've visited, to become a part of the burden and the vision to reach the people that are around us. And in reaching them, we will fulfill the mandate that Jesus Christ gave. Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me preach. Somebody say preach to me. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord? Amen. I promise not to hold you too long. I'm not going to wow you with rhetoric, and I don't have a deep oratorical intricate message tonight, but I tell you, I do have a word from the Lord. Amen. I believe God wants to work and to move into this place. If you will, turn to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture that is found there. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 and verse number 29. Matthew 11, verse number 28 and verse number 29. Jesus said, everybody say, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And you shall find what you have been looking for all along. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we come before you this evening. I pray your divine intervention. We bind every spirit of division. We bind every spirit that would hinder the working and the flowing of your Spirit. We loose the holy anointing of God that will come into this place. Lord, challenge us with your word. Touch us with your Spirit. And let us leave from this place a new vessel in the power of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your Bible down? Let's clap our hands unto the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You can be seated if you like. Praise the name of the Lord. The word that I read to you, I know this text, in the scheme of text, sounds like it's kind of milquetoast. Little weak-kneed, little not on the dynamic side, little, you know, just kind of mediocre. But, oh, folks, can I tell you, we need to look at the Word of God the way the Word of God expects us to look at it. Hallelujah. There are too many times that we come to the house of God with the wrong assumption about what God is wanting to do. When you come on a midweek, or you come on a Sunday morning, or you come on a Sunday night, don't you allow the devil to convince you that it's just business as usual. When it comes to this apostolic church, it is never business as usual. Hallelujah. It is the miraculous. This thing was born in the fire. Hallelujah. And it's going to be taken out of here in the fire. Folks, God doesn't want us to live in the smoke. He wants us to be a flame for Him. Can I tell you tonight that the Word of God that I read to you isn't some kind of milquetoast pleading from Jesus Christ, "Come to me," instead of the imploring, beseeching, begging kind of thing that most people take it for granted to be. It is a divine imperative that comes from God. He's not begging you to come. He's commanding you to come. Amen. If you're weak and heavy laden, come unto me. Hallelujah. If you're sick in body, come unto me. If you're sin sick and burdened down, come unto me. Hallelujah. It's not a God begging us. It's God standing up with His divine authority, pointing His finger in our face and into our life and telling us it's time for you to get out of your pew. It's time for you to get out of your circumstance. It's time for you to get out of your rut. It's time for you to get out of the ordinary and step into my divine, miraculous power. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It is a demand. It is a command. And it is not an option. Hallelujah. We come to church too often with too many presumptions that it's just going to be the way it was last week. That it's just going to be us four. We'll look around and see who's here or who's not here, and we'll make a little mental evaluation about what's going to take place tonight. Folks, it's not contingent upon who's here or who's not here. It's contingent upon God. Oh, hallelujah. If you'll break out into a place of the purpose of God, you'll see God doing something in you that will shake this city. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 25, we find a very familiar portion of Scripture. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his uncertainty, in the midst of his terror, Peter answered Jesus and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Folks, it wasn't Jesus pleading with Peter. It wasn't Jesus merely giving Peter a divine okay. It was the Word of God robed in flesh, speaking a word of authority to Peter in his fear. Come. Get out of your fear. Get out of your boat. Get out of your storm. Get out of your situation. Folks, I don't know if you're waiting on God to beg you. I fear that you'll wait until He comes. But oh, if you'll hear the voice of the Lord tonight, His voice to you is come. Get out of your pew. Get out of your situation. Get out of your place. Amen. And come unto me. Who is He talking to? You that are burdened and heavy laden. Anybody in here got everything perfect in your life? Anybody in here got everything just all right in your life? Hallelujah. You got more money than you'll ever spend? Got more energy than you can ever use? Got more health than you can ever have? No, I think you are like everybody else. You're a part of humanity that Jesus came and to seek and to save. I am not come for those that are well, but to those that have need. How many of you have a need tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Let me give you a word from God then. Come. You know what He said? Get out of your do nothing and do something. Get out of your ordinary and step into the extraordinary. Get out of your routine and step into the purpose of the plan of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We come to church. And this is where I always sit. You know, and this is the way I always am. And this is as far as I always go. And they have the worship and they have the prayer. And this is what I always do. Folks, God wants you to get out of always. He wants you to step beyond the place that you usually are. Hallelujah. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? The Lord is in our situation and His voice is crying out to us not begging, not pleading. My God, we need to change our mental concept. Hallelujah. And it disturbs me when pastors get up and have to beg people to give, beg people to pray, beg people to worship, beg people to stand. Folks, that's not the plan of God. His word is come. Hallelujah. We don't have to worship. We get to worship. Hallelujah. We don't have to pray. We get to pray. We don't have to go to church. I am the church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you are the Lord, bid me come. That word, when Peter used it, bid me come. It means tell me to come. Simple, but in the Greek, it goes on. That word means to urge on. It means to incite by word. In other words, it means to give an order. I'm in the boat. I'm about to die. I'm afraid for my life. I've done everything I know how to do, and I've reached the end of my rope. Bid me come. Peter was saying, command me to get out of my boat. Command me to step out of my safety. Command me to let go of my uncertain safety of the boat. And command me to step out into the certain unsafety of the sea. I don't think you got it. I don't think you got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to hold on to the boat. Folks, this is not a majority decision. The majority stayed in the boat. Hallelujah. We need to get the minority report in this thing. Amen. The majority is going to take you to hell. Broad is the way that goeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. Hallelujah. All of them were in the boat. Jesus spoke. He didn't say, Peter, get out of the boat. He said, get out. Come unto me. Hallelujah. Amen. Come unto me. I can just hear them jokers sitting in the boat. My God, he's walking on the water. He'll sink. Don't he know what he's doing? Just like a bunch of crabs. Sure, you probably heard it. Crabs don't have to have a lid to keep them in the pot. You can't keep one crab in a bucket, but you can keep several crabs in a bucket, because when one tries to climb out, all the rest of them are going to reach up there and pull him back. We live in a bunch of crabs, folks. Some people are just crabby and some people are crabs. Hallelujah. There is, some people may have an excuse for being crabby, but none of us has an excuse for being a crab. Folks, it's time that we hear the voice of the Lord saying, come. Hallelujah. Amen. Our church is what it is. It's what it was. It's what it always be. That's not God. He says, come. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, but I tried it before. He says, come. You've never lived in this time before. Street revivals won't work here. Tenth revivals won't work here. Door knocking won't work here. Outreach won't work here. Folks, you have never lived in such a time as this. Hallelujah. Can you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you tonight? Come. Oh no. I'm going to stay right here in my little pew. If you are ever going to step out into the miraculous, if you were ever going to make it to the end zone, you got to step out of the comfort zone. And you got to step into the danger zone. You got to step into the danger zone. Too many of us come to church with this kind of attitude. I want to see. But I don't want to be seen. You don't understand me. You bound not to. I don't want somebody to be watching me doing the chicken dance when I'm up there worshiping. I don't want somebody watching me slain in the spirit. I don't want somebody watching me just lose control of myself. I don't want somebody to watch me run around the aisles. I don't want somebody to watch me stand up and proclaim my faith. I want to watch. Folks, you'll never get what God's calling you to be and to have until you step out into the danger zone. What if it doesn't happen? Oh, at least I got out of the boat. Folks, you need to understand the rest of the story. Peter began to sink when he listened to his friends. But Jesus was right there. And he stepped down and said, come unto me. He's not going to command you to do anything that he's not able to make sure you can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are such creatures of habit. Thank you. We come in just about like we always come in. Dragging. Thank you. We arrive just about like we always arrive. Late. We go to the prayer room just about like we always go to the prayer room. Little. Thank you. We make about the same preparations for a great move of God in our service as we always do. None. We come into the building with our expectations about the same level. Low. We sit in about the same place we always sit. My wife's in somebody's place. When we hear the preaching of the Word of God, we make about the same response. Minimum. And we obtain about the same level of experience. Partial. I went and was prayed for tonight. Were you healed? God touched me. And we're satisfied with the touch. We are the blind man that came to Jesus. And when he prayed, Jesus said, what do you see? See men as trees walking. Whew, I've been touched. Hallelujah. See you next week. Folks, if we'll step out, that's too generic. If you will step out, if you will step out, of your comfort zone. Out of the safety of the crab bucket. She said, oh, no. Oh, yes. How many times have you heard it like this? That young whippersnapper shouting and kicking and hollering. And well, they'll get over that. Give them a few years. Hallelujah. Folks, can I tell you, we're serving a mighty God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to get out of our pew for. He's worthy to kick up your heels. Oh, he's a mighty, mighty, mighty God. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Are you tired of going through the motion? Are you tired of just going to church and going to Pizza Hut and going home? Or do you want God to get a hold of you so you'll take the power of God home with you and light a fire in your house, in your community, in your family, in your school, in your city? Come unto me. He's not begging you. He's commanding you. If ever we're living in a time when the world needs the church to be the church. We're living in that time. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come. The question is, how do you? How do you come to Jesus? I'm not putting no more into this than I have to. Come on, everybody, clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, if you love God, raise your hand. It's no wonder we don't get more out of it. There are people out there that are so lost and so confused and so hungry. There are people out there that want to come to this church. They just don't know where it is. They want to come to your church, and they want to sit down beside you, and they want to be your very best friend. They want to be the kind of person that you will think, after you've known them for about 6 months, how did I ever get by without them? We're like this. They're right there. But you know what? They're out there, and they don't know how to get here. And the sad thing is, if they came through the door tonight, would they recognize the church? If they're looking for the church, would they recognize it in us? I wonder how many of you tonight are looking in the eyes of Jesus and hear the voice of Jesus command you, come. Would you be willing to step out of the uncertain safety of your pew into the certain unsafety up here at the front? How many of you want to see the blind eyes open? Anybody in here? How many of you would like to see the dead raised? Would you? How many of you would like to see somebody leap out of a wheelchair? How many of you know somebody that's blind? Have you seen them? Have you met someone? How many of you have seen someone that was dead? How many of you have seen somebody in a wheelchair? How many of us have heard the nudging voice of the Lord saying, come, give me a chance.
Pray for them. Tell them to get out of the wheelchair. Tell them to rise from the dead. Tell their eyes to be opened. How many of you have prayed? Why not? But you're telling me to step out of the boat. We want to see these great miracles of God. But folks, you need to understand where those miracles came from, the hands they came from. They came from Peter's that were willing to step out of the boat. Hallelujah. They came from John that said, give me your hand. Stand up and walk. No, that's for the apostles. No. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, can I tell you there's a difference between a 5-year-old or a 13-year-old that believes that daddy's seriously going to put some great pain and on his situation if he does this. And the one that doesn't believe it. Because if they really believe it, they're not going to do it. But if they don't believe it, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling to us to come. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Folks, can I tell you that Jesus is in the house tonight? He is in this place tonight. He is calling to us tonight. Every time there is an altar call in this house, the voice of the Lord is saying, come unto me. It's not begging. It's not pleading. It's a command from Almighty God. Step out of your pew and step into the place of the Spirit where I can do something in you. Hallelujah. Amen. So how do you get from the safety of your little pew into the place of the miraculous that's in Jesus' name? How do you get there? Well, you got to let go of your pew. You can do it by worship. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to do it by worship. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to step out of the conforming character of the church around you maybe and just stand to your feet and give God glory and praise. Hallelujah. I know of an instant where a brother was at a large camp meeting and he was there and the voice of God spoke to him and said, stand to your feet and shout, I love Jesus, as loud as you can. And he goes, and it wasn't but just a few seconds later he heard the same voice, stand to your feet and shout as loud as you can, I love Jesus. Is that God, folks? That ain't your flesh. That ain't the devil. Who else could it be? And he said, let me sit on that a little more. And it wasn't but just a few more seconds. Some guy jumped up about 4 pews behind him and said, I love Jesus. And when he did, that place went up in smoke. Folks, can I tell you, God is waiting on somebody to hear his voice. Come. Hallelujah. Do something. Rise up into the power of God. And if you don't, he'll move on to somebody who will. And if this church won't, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30, the word says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first suggestion. This is the first pleading. This is the first begging. No, it is the first commandment. Folks, we don't have room to be comfortable in church. We don't have room to be comfortable on our pews. Folks, we have a divine commandment given to us to worship God with everything that is within us. And that person that wants to be best friends with you for the rest of your life, when they come in and see you worshiping like that, they're going to understand, I am in the right place. I may not understand what's going on, but one thing is for sure, something is going on. Hallelujah. They'll say, this isn't like any other church I've ever been in.
Thank you, Lord. Well,
duh. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? The church that's not like any other church the world has? These signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you want to walk in the miraculous? Do you? Chances are, you're never going to find it where you're sitting.
That's right. You've got to move that. You've got to move that.
More than likely, you're never going to find it where you're sitting. And I know some of you say, well, I'm going to just change my seat. No. You just hadn't quite caught it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. You're never going to find it behind your cloak of anonymity. You know, there are some people that go to church, and honestly, pastors never even know if they were there or not. That's terrible. I'm not bad-mouthing pastors. I are one. You know what the deal is? You just didn't make enough presence. I used to be a world-famous Texas football star. That's not the whole truth. I ran track. I was during some of this time, the coach had us out there one time, I remember specifically, and we had this particular run that we had to run. It was a long ways. And he wasn't out there just paying a whole lot of attention. And I noticed a bunch of these jokers that were running along just getting it. When they got to the place where the football stands were, they just kind of peeled off. And some of them said, hey, why don't you come over here and just kind of coast with us? And man, I wanted to be bad. But I thought to myself, that coach knows you too well. And if you come up missing, he's going to say, hey, dude, where are you? Oh, that's a good word. Where you been? Well, I've been over there skating on the backside of the bleachers, watching people run. Folks, you can't come to church like that.
That's right.
I know you got your spot marked off out there, and it's good and comfortable. That's not what we come to church for. You got to step out of your little invisibility there and get visible. How can I get visible? Well, for instance, if you're just sitting here all calm and collected, and that's the way you usually are, preachers preaching something like that, if you just all of a sudden went, woohoo! Yes! I promise you, everybody in the church is going to know you're here tonight. But better than that, God's going to know you're here. Hallelujah! It's time that we stop crying out, alms, 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 and stand up and say, Lord, I want you to heal me. I will not let you go until you heal me. I will not let you go until you feel me. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Can I tell you, you did not receive it at that comfort zone. You had to go, when you received it, you had to go a step further than you'd ever been before. You know, I've been to church all my life. I've worshiped God all my life. I've done this all my life. But I want to tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost, you went a step further. You went beyond patty cake for Jesus. You went beyond, oh, thank you, Jesus. You went beyond, oh, how I love Jesus. You went beyond. You stepped to a place where I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. My God is saying, come unto me, and I am going to come to him. I am getting out of the ordinary, and I'm stepping into the supernatural. I'm going to stop. I can preach. Jesus speaks to us sometimes. Why don't you go over and tell that man, you know, that Jesus really loves you? Well, what will he think if I do that? I'm down here at the dollar store and I'm getting my dollar's worth of whatever, and that woman's busy. She's there. She's giving me her little plastic smile, and I'm giving her my little plastic money, and I'm fixing to tell her a plastic goodbye. Whoa!
Amen. Come on.
Can I tell you something? Oh, something nudging me and kind of stirring me, and I think I need to tell you that you don't have to go to hell. That you don't have to have the burden that you're carrying. That you don't have to be down and out and depressed. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, those cigarettes you're smoking there, you don't have to be bound to this. Jesus is still delivering people at the church I go to. Oh, but I never do nothing like that. Yeah. I know. God knows that he's never going to ask you to do something he's not going to help you do. You know what you're doing? You're planting seeds that you're going to reap a harvest from. I just had a good report Saturday night. A sister in our church called me. She had forgotten to tell me at prayer meeting. She called me, said, Pastor, said I just invited a lady that goes to our school to come to church. And when I did, I gave her our church card. It's got our picture on it, because not because I'm pretty, because we wanted there. You know, if you see something like that, you're going to stop for a second and say, my goodness, or something. And I had met this lady, best I can remember, I think it must have been at Brookshire Brothers. And anyway, she was in there, and she was just going about her business, and I was going about my business, and I just felt that little, you know, what, you need to invite her to church. So I gave her a card and I said, hey, man, we're having great church down there. We are seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost, people being baptized and being delivered. And here, let me give you my card. And this is, it's got a little map to our church. This is where we are. And then I went, You know, that's just a little normal kind of deal there. And then something just kind of said, Everybody say, Oh, man. That's what you need to say when the Lord does that to you. Just, You need to say, Not, Okay? And so I gave her that card and I said, you know what? I really feel like you've got some problems in your life, some issues that are really going on. I said, but you don't have to deal with that. There's a God that's able to minister your needs. You need to come to our church. And I started to turn to walk away, and then I said, and you know what? I said, we have Spanish interpretation in our church too. You need to come. And man, she just kind of lit up. And you know, I hadn't seen her yet.
Thank you,
Lord. Hadn't seen her. Done forgot about it, really. And then Sister Chris called me. She said, you know, I invited this lady to church. And I gave her your card. And she said, when she saw that picture, she said, I know this man. Guess who it was? It was her. She said, this guy told me that he went beyond inviting me to church. He told me that there were some things that was going on in me. And he invited me to their church. And you know what? Me and my husband went to go to that church, and we asked somebody, and they sent us over there to the Spanish church. And I told my husband, this is not that guy. That Spanish pastor was not me. And she said, I didn't know where to go, and I didn't have the card anymore. And then Sister Chris invited her to church. And that woman said, and she's supposed to be there tonight, right now, getting the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, if we'll step out of the ordinary, we'll step into the miraculous. You know where miraculous is? Do you know where miraculous is? It's one step further than you normally go. It's that close. It's that close to this church. Brother, you want revival in this church? I heard you saying something about it. You know where it is? It's just one step further. Going beyond the normal. Beyond normal prayer. Beyond normal worship. Beyond normal attendance. Beyond normal giving. Just beyond normal praise. Right there. You know what it is? All it is one step. That step, and I'm closing. Musicians, won't you come? That step is a step of obedience. You don't have to know the end from the beginning. Peter didn't. Come! You can stay in the boat. You can just stay in the boat. Till this whole thing sinks. Or you can take a step. You know what it is? It's not the voice of God begging. Church, please hear me. It's not the voice of God begging you. It's the voice of God commanding you. Be different. Take a step of obedience. Go beyond. I worship God. Yeah, I know you do. I go to church. I give to church. I know you do. What we're talking about tonight is one step further. Would you stand with me, please? Oh, God. How many of you want the Holy Ghost? Do you? You know where it's at? Just one step further than you normally go. How many of you want to be healed tonight? It's just one little step further. How many of you need deliverance tonight? It's just one step further. Oh, but I've been prayed for. Yeah. But what were your expectations? Did you go? I went to church to get prayed for. Really? Do you know you got exactly what you came for? I came to be prayed for. There's a difference between going to church to be healed and going to church to be prayed for. I went to the altar to seek the Holy Ghost. I went to the altar to pray for deliverance. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between going to be prayed for. That woman with the issue of blood, she didn't just go to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I went to touch the hem of His garment to be healed. We got too many blind Bartimaeuses running around, clutching their beggar's cloaks. Let go of it. Throw it behind you. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God pulling, beckoning, calling, commanding. Hallelujah. I'd like for us all to come together around this front area here. We need to respond in a method, in a way that goes beyond what we would normally do. Hallelujah. Come on, gather close around. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God can? Do you believe that God will?
I will not withhold.
Now, so many of you, you're coming, and I feel like you're in the... This is just as far as you usually go. This is just about the extent. Are you willing to come to church on a Sunday night and leave saying, "Oh, I had a touch"? Is that what you're content to leave with? Or do you want to take a step further into a place of the power of God? Come on, close your eyes and reach up and begin to reach for Him right now. Come on, is that the cry of desperation? Is that the cry? By the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you, Satan, loose your hold. You don't own her. The blood of Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I bind every lukewarm spirit of hell. I lose the power of a divine awakening in Jesus Christ. Come on, call on Him right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command all things to pass away. I command all things to pass away. All things to be made new in Jesus. Be loose. Be loose in the power of Jesus Christ. Come on, cry out to Him with a voice of triumph. Come on, that's the power and the presence of God through the authority of Jesus Christ. Come on, right now, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Satan, you have heard her word. She professes that you don't have a hold on her. You don't have the right to bind her. You don't have the right to destroy her. I bind every deceiving spirit of darkness. Loose the scales from her eyes in Jesus Christ. From the top of her head to the sole of her feet, I loose the power of God. Come on, that's it. By the power of Jesus' name. Come on, God wants to take control of your mouth. He wants to take control of your tongue. He wants to take control of your life. By the authority of Jesus Christ, such as I have, give I unto thee in Jesus' name. Receive you the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I loose healing within her being. I command all things to pass away. All things to be made new in the authority of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's it. Call on Him. Yes. 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 Come on, that's the presence of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's the presence of the Lord. Mighty God, in the righteous name of Jesus Christ, touch His vessel. Satan, this is a handmaiden of the Lord. We overcome you through the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. Unloose the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Unloose the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh God, right now. Hallelujah. 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 Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, spring up a fountain of living water. Spring up a fountain of divine imperative. Satan, I put you under my feet. I take authority over you through the Word of God. I believe that all things are possible. Lord, I trust in you. I hold to you.